when you hear the music ring. Well, now you step inside, but you don't see too many faces.
But up next, April Kirkwood is the author of a book titled Big Girls Do Cry, My Love Affair with Frankie Valli. It's a story about a young girl and her whirlwind infatuation and romance with a megastar Frankie Valli of the Four Seasons. We're pleased to have Ms. Kirkwood join us on the telephone. Good evening.
Good evening to you. It's a pleasure to be here, and thanks for having me.
Pleasure's ours. I appreciate you taking the time to join us. Let's start at the beginning. Tell us a little bit about your youth. Where are you originally from?
Yes, I'm from the Midwest. That's Youngstown, Ohio area, in between Indiana and Pennsylvania. Not from money, really raised on a chicken farm, no connections to the music industry. For anybody out there that believes in synchronicity or just the timing of events in people's lives, I can attest to that, because there was no actual reason why I should have met Mr. Valli. And I did when I was 6 years old. And it's gone on and on and on until this very day. And it really, really sends a message about how we meet people and how deeply they can affect us and all of our other forthcoming relationships, even though you may not see that person any longer.
Tell us about the circumstances that very first time that you met him when you were 6 years old.
Yeah, it was just a queer twist of fate. My Aunt Jenny, who I call one of my dream team, I was raised by three powerful women, not a lot of male icons in my life, no role models. She got an extra ticket, and for some reason, she just let me tag along. And from that moment, seriously, when I saw Frankie, it touched such a core in me. It could have been that my father was Italian and my parents got divorced early. It could have been the music. My father had also been a musician. It could have been that I reminded Frankie of one of his daughters. After that happened, there was no Beatles, no anybody else, no Monkees, no Bobby Sherman. There was only Frankie. And I was always a good girl, as the firstborn, high achiever. So it was very innocent for my family to say, well, let's get her a velvet suit. Let's take her in the summer to see another concert. Remember, this is the 60s. We were very Christian, country folk, church going. We were very naive about the industry, the people out in the world. And so we thought, and I'm sure they thought nothing of taking me every summer to see him. And there was nothing dirty or seductive about it in their minds at the time. It was just like a family hobby.
Mm-hmm. When did the romance with Frankie Valli begin?
Yeah, it began, so for all these years, they're taking me, and I'm always this good girl, blah, 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 and I never step out of line. All of a sudden, Frankie comes to Youngstown, and I have my license, and I'm 16. Well, it's right around the corner where we've always been, at the same venue, so they let me go by myself. So I go backstage, and this was a couple years, I think, when Frankie kind of had an off year or two, and he came back with, My Eyes Adored You, mm-hmm. and I've Got You Under My Skin. You know, he had come back that second time around. I mean, he's like the ever-ready bunny. He just never ends. So I come backstage, and I said, do you know who I am? And by then, I'm Miss Ohio Teenager, and I'm all grown up. And he says, hello, September. He walks up to me, and at that time, in the 70s, we had all that gold. He untangled every chain on my neck. And, you know, at that time, I knew that the relationship had flipped. He asked me to stay backstage, and then we went to the Holiday Inn for drinks. Now, this is a man I've loved since I was 6 years old. I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is really happening. I'm going to marry him. You know, at that point, I was a virgin, probably terrible in bed. And it was very quick and probably unexciting for him, I must say. I was a little girl. And a real little girl, very naive. And I came home. I was home by midnight. No one said anything. I crawled into my canopy bed. And from that point on, I had in my mind that this was going to be the man I was going to spend the rest of my life with. Because remember, I'm raised in this very strict background. You don't sleep with someone unless you marry them. You don't have sex with just anybody. And he said to me, now, don't do this with anybody else. And, you know, you don't want to be that kind of girl. So I wanted to misinterpret that, like, don't do this with anyone but me.
Right.
In retrospect, of course, I see he was just trying to warn me, you know, don't go out there and be loose. From that point on, through both of our lives, through our ups and downs, deaths, divorces, kids, we would keep in contact with one another. We had some problems. You know, his daughter, two of his daughters died. I was going with someone. He came and chased me to Chicago. It's quite an interesting tale. But the point about the story is how I really had a slight nervous breakdown, which can be a very enlightening thing for anyone out there who's going through a hard time, especially during the holiday season. That's the time when you really can get enlightened and find out your core. What's going on? What's not working? And what you need to do. When I saw Jersey Boys, my daughter was going to UM. I had moved to Florida. And I saw this play. And my daughter's like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, Mom, that's you. Oh, my God, they mentioned Ohio. Oh, yeah, we know his daughter died. Oh, yeah, we know about Marianne, the second wife. And I just started to sob. And I thought, I've never gotten over this man. From then on, I have two masters in counseling. This also shows how you can be a very educated person, very successful in your career, be a good parent, and still not really be able to zone in on the romantic aspects of your life. And I came upon this concept of imprinting, and we all know how little ducklings imprint with the first thing they see. Well, this is an actual biological part of our DNA. Of course, we imprint with our first caretaker when we're born, but we also imprint during adolescence on our idea, our basket in our mind of what we think all those attributes are in our romantic life. So someone might have had a poster Farrah Fawcett. Say a guy has a poster of Farrah Fawcett when he's young, that red bathing suit.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gets married, and it's a nice girl. She's good to him. But he has that imprint in his mind of Farrah Fawcett. That's the one. That's the one. Everybody's going to fall short until you really recognize what you're doing, and you are sabotaging every relationship, sabotaging yourself. Good people are coming in and out of your life, and I am infatuated and stunted on the kind of attributes that I thought Frankie had. So he probably didn't even really have those.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know him intimately anymore. He's 83. But I'm not even sure who he is. He definitely doesn't know who I am right now. And it would be like going your whole life wanting to be with your first love. And that's why some people never get over their first love. You've heard about that.
Absolutely.
So it's a cautionary tale for those of us who are struggling with romantic issues. It's also a cautionary tale for mothers who push their kids. There's an aspect in there where I'm underage and my mother puts me on a bus to go travel with Frankie. It's also a great story about the 60s, the mob, what's going on in history, and how, especially for people who don't understand this that are much younger, what life was like for their parents. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers. I could have never checked if Frankie was married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he said he was and he wasn't.
Yeah.
And we just took it as face value. How being naive, too. I've always been too naive. And being too naive is really a lack of respect for your own intelligence and your intuition. If your intuition tells you a man is married or is using you, or a woman, there's lots of women who use men for money or dinner or whatever, then they are.
You have authored a new book that is coming either out. I'm not sure whether it's out or going
it's
to be coming.
It's not out yet. It's coming
yet.
Out. We're just doing the final edit. And this book, and I really, this is so important to me. This book, Big Girls Do Cry, it was just the beginning. Because I had to look at my motivations. After I wrote this book, I'm getting called to do speaking engagements. And they're saying, well, why do you still love Frankie? Or why aren't you bitter? Your mother kind of, you know, threw you in his arms. And, you know, your family was, you know, kind of off in left field. And Frankie definitely, you know, took you for a whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to really revisit, number one, my motivations for writing the book. And how could I be happy in unhappy situations? And I've done 2 years of research since writing the book 2 years ago. And I've come up with a whole series of steps for people to do nothing but, number one, first step is become unhappy enough to say, I want to change. Observe all that's going around. And I go through some other steps, awareness, levels of indifference. I do have 2 masters in counseling. I am a keynote speaker. And I do believe you can be happy if you have a different perspective. And it's called, the book is called anyhow, Rose-Colored Glasses Required, The Logic of Illogical Love.
Yeah, I love that title.
How logic fails us, and all of the other steps that are a little bit spiritual, but it's really a guide to good mental health, to knowing yourself, knowing what motivates you, and knowing why you're in this bad situation. If I hadn't loved Frankie Valli, I wouldn't be speaking with you. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have the opportunity to help people. If I hadn't watched my mother die terribly of drug abuse, my mother had a personality disorder, I wouldn't understand as a therapist how dreadful that is when you're so wrapped around your own pain that you can't think clearly. And there's a reason that everyone is going through what they are for a reason. And I'd like them to see that reason with a better light and intention that we are all here for one reason, to learn how to love ourselves, love others, and grow spiritually.
When is the new book out?
It should be out in the spring, and I can have my publicist send you a copy, and it will be all over the place. On my website, aprilkirkwood.com. It is, I think this will be my legacy. I think the first book is a great light read on my memoir, and then when you read the big book, the real intense book, that you will get a better understanding of, I'm a nice girl that made bad decisions. I'm a nice girl from a family that was dysfunctional, but they did the best they could with what they had at the time. Even Frankie, he's not educated. I don't think he had a clue in his mind how he was affecting me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not excusing his behavior, but I'm understanding that his motivations were probably not dark and deceptive.
I have about 20 seconds left. Has he?
Okay. If you have a child that is 3 years old, you're not going to make them know or expect them to know what an 8-year-old knows.
Mm-hmm.
I would like you to grow with me so that you understand not to judge the 3-year-old, but to be the 8-year-old.
Have you had any feedback from Frankie on the previous book?
I tried to get in touch with him. I had a bad experience with him. He came to my house right across the lake at a country club. I went to see them. You would have thought Hillary Clinton was there. There was so much press and security to not let me through. I'm sure he's very angry and embarrassed. It's a great, if you like Italians, you love the Four Seasons, you're a woman or a man who's been in love, and you want to find out what it's like to be with a celebrity as famous as Frankie, please feel free to go on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, and I think Walmart online. And you can contact me at aprilkirkwood.com. I would love to help anybody. I'll write you back, and I'll give you any insights, if I can, about love.
April, good of you to join us. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you so much. God bless you, and have a wonderful holiday season. And God bless all of our country.
All the best.
And the police force and everybody and the babies.
Thank you, April.
Take care.
Bye-bye. April Kirkwood is the author of Big Girls Do Cry, My Love Affair with Frankie Valli. That website, aprilkirkwood.com.